May and I have been reading through Genesis through to Leviticus. Some of that can be quite tough going because it's got many rules and regulations in respect of God's instructions for the ceremonial cleanliness, for conditions affecting moral laws, holy days, clear requirements on diet, purification after childbirth, infectious diseases, sexual relations, respect for parents, warnings about witchcraft, and so on. All this in addition to the Ten Commandments. Laws that were specific, and if were broken, carried punishment or a requirement for purification. The children of Israel came out of Egypt after enduring 400 years in captivity. Generation after generation were born into slavery in a pagan society where the Egyptians had many, many gods and worshipped and feared them through their own systems of ritual and sacrifice. The children of Jacob, the Israelites, although aware of their past history, passed down through grandparents and parents, knowing of their great predecessors, Joseph as prime minister and Moses as leader of the nation who took them out of slavery, they were tainted by this pagan society, and despite experiencing their miraculous delivery through the Red Sea following the plagues in Egypt, they fell back under these pagan influences and were found worshipping the golden calf when Moses was with God on Mount Sinai. It's a sad story of a nation selected by God to be his people, but repeatedly promising commitment and obedience to Jehovah and then following away. The book of Judges gives many instances of broken promises and of the nation repenting again and again and turning back to God for deliverance. In Deuteronomy 9 verse 4, God speaks of their conquest. He says, "After the Lord your God has driven them out before you," speaking of the foreign nations, "do not say to yourself, 'Oh, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness.' No, it is on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you're going in to take possession of their land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand then that it is not because of your righteousness the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people." God had to shape a nation freed from bondage and now experiencing the release from the restraint of captivity. And God builds a protective boundary around them and asks them to stay within it. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 26, he promises blessings if they obediently stay within his boundaries, but curses if they disobey his instructions, his commands. Here was a real challenge to the people to follow God's teaching and to exercise self-discipline, obey his laws, and receive blessing. To move from servitude to conquest of the promised land, from obeying pagan overseers to being shaped to form an army of conquest to drive out the pagan nations and inhabit the land flowing with milk and honey. The old covenant with its precise systems of sacrifice stayed in place until the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by Titus in AD 70. Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection fulfilled the words of the Old Testament prophets. He became the final and ultimate blood sacrifice and established a new covenant in his blood. No longer the myriad rules and regulations, but a recognition that he had met God's requirements and offered new life through him. In 2 Corinthians it says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Galatians 5 verse 1, it says, "It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again with a yoke of slavery." 1 Peter 2 verse 16, "Live as free men, but not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God." In other words, express and show the fruit of the Holy Spirit Galatians 5 speaks of the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the gentleness and self-control. God's boundaries are set, and they are not irksome as long as we live close to Him. His Holy Spirit gives us corrections and cautions us as we experience real freedom in Christ. Jesus loves and cares for us. He is in ultimate control of your situation, and we are exhorted to trust Him with the outcomes. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Psalm 34 verse 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Notice it says in 1 Thessalonians, "In everything give thanks," not "for everything." Some things are tragic, hurtful, damaging. But to know that as it says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who have been called according to His purpose. Because of our relationship with Him, we can have confidence and offer praise and thanksgiving to Him in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. We are chosen. In Ephesians chapter 1 it says, "We were chosen to the praise of His glorious name, that we might be for the praise of His glory," in verse 12. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we are exhorted to praise Him. Psalm 69 verse 30 says, "I will praise the name of the Lord with song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving." Psalm 71 says, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and thy honour all the day." Psalm 71 and 14, it says, "But I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more." Again in Psalm 50, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." We should note that when we praise God, it is not conditional on how we feel. Sometimes it can be a real sacrifice to praise Him when we feel down. Psalm 42 verse 11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Or when we're feeling threatened, we sometimes think, "Oh, I don't know, it's going to be another emergency situation." In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we read of King Jehoshaphat. Israel is under threat of invasion, and he calls the choir to sing praises on the battlefield. And we read that the enemy was thrown into confusion and fought each other and were so defeated, and the invasion dispensed with. When the future seems uncertain and apparently hopeless, we can read in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas were in prison, imprisoned by the authorities, flogged, their feet imprisoned in the stocks. And at midnight, they sang hymns praising God. And what happened? The earthquake, the release, the jailer himself and his family found Jesus. A real sacrifice of praise. Books have been written about the people who have found praise to be a real release and a real testimony of Jesus' outworking of their situation. Don Gossett wrote Dynamite and Praise. Mellon Carruthers, amongst other books, wrote Power and Praise and Prison to Praise. Testimonies of those who have presented their needs to God and praised Him, knowing that God is ultimately in charge and will answer with His solution and His direction. Whatever your needs or anxieties today, ask God to take the burden and praise Him with thanksgiving that He is more than sufficient to deal with your problems. Bless you. Amen.